The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me, I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Alright then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Cheers, Bears fans! This is Bears Barroom Radio. I am Aldo Gandia, and welcome to part two of our post-draft discussion. In part one, we delved into the Mitchell Trubisky transaction and the player himself. He was worthy of the entire hour, and trust me, we'll be talking a lot more about him in the near and distant future. Hopefully, all good news. In this part two, we will discuss Pace's four other picks. Second rounder Adam Shaheen, the 6'6", 278-pound tight end from Ashland University, who ran a 4.79 at the combine. And the two fourth rounders, Eddie Jackson, the speedy safety from Alabama, who unfortunately is coming off a broken leg injury. And Tariq Cohen, the even speedier running back from North Carolina A&T. And then we'll also look at fifth round pick offensive lineman Jordan Morgan, another Division II player. And we have a Keep It 100 question that I think you will all find very interesting. Let's get the lowdown from Phil Latoshin and Lauren Cox of Bears Hour Live and Jose Cotto, Shane Marsaw of Bears Barroom. We joined the conversation already in progress. All right, fellas, let's talk about Adam Shaheen.
Now I'm pissed off.
Yeah, fuck that whitey. Ryan Pace is racist.
Yeah, he drafted a guy that has sent out some questionable tweets, and this is what he had to say about that topic. Let me see if I can find it here. Yeah, here it is.
Yeah, we used to talk about it a lot. I know Parcells used to always tell Sean Payton this, is you got to watch your locker room, and because before you know it, you have a couple weeds in there, and then your whole garden can be destroyed. So we focus on it all the time, and I think, it's just like the medical, they're case-by-case basis, but for the most part, we're going to be pretty strict in that area and pretty detailed in that area, because the locker room and the vibe down there, guys, is really good right now. You know, it almost feels like a college vibe where the guys have fun, they enjoy being around each other, and that's the kind of environment we want. And when you have a good team, you can just feel it, and if you put a couple bad teammates in there, and it can destroy that vibe. And so everybody we bring in, we're real conscious of that. And I think, our locker room respects that, our players expect that. But again, it's really a case-by-case basis on each one of these. And so guys are coming on and off your board, for all those criteria we discussed.
Yeah, I don't want to get into talking about Shaheen's character. He did something when he was in high school, and we can all forgive and forget that. He's been thoroughly checked out. What I want to talk about is his talent. And whether it can translate, it can make that huge jump from a D2 school into the NFL. Jose, what are your thoughts?
I thought you were going to cut to the live reaction of Shaheen being drafted on draft day from his home.
No, I don't have that.
All right, I'll sum it up for you guys.
I missed that.
Woo!
Hail the Confederacy. Stars and bars. Stars
this
and
is
bars.
Lamar Jackson, goddammit.
Now, where did you find that? Because I've been looking for that clip all over. Now, I did find this old clip. It's not an old clip, but it's a recent clip of Jose talking to Mitch Trubisky.
Hi. This is Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback for the Cleveland Chicago. What's the difference?
Just fucking read the card.
Hi, this is Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback for the Chicago.
Listen,
there's nothing that makes me hard count better than kissing titties. So make sure you get to your doctor regularly and check for lumps, because breast cancer is no laughing matter. Thank you.
Jose, when did you record that with Mitch Trubisky?
We hung out earlier today. We got a lot in common. We both like titties. He's not the brightest bulb in the bunch. You expect that with a Pollock.
That reminds me, too, as soon as he starts throwing interceptions or has a bad game, the bitch Trubisky signs are going to really come out there.
Oh,
even
yeah.
Bitch Trubisky. I mean, you can really throw a bitch in there a lot.
The fourth graders are going to come out.
Oh, yeah.
The guy has been put into a really tough situation with and the whole Glennon thing. It's going to be tough for this young man, but hopefully
yeah,
he makes
imagine it. Having a last name like Cox.
You are what you eat.
never heard that one, Jose.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right, let's talk about Shaheen. Jose, you got some thoughts on the big tight end who is known as Baby Gronk?
Yeah, so I called in the Bears Hour Live, so Lauren and Phil are going to – I mean, they know what I'm going to say. But so I like his upside. I didn't completely hate the selection, but it felt like a reach to me. I didn't have Shaheen in my top 50. I didn't have him in the top five at the position. You know, as I told the boys on Bears Hour Live – when you look at the competition level, you have to take that into account. His numbers were very impressive. I love his athleticism. I love that he catches the ball naturally. He's an easy mover, and he's obviously huge. Those are all positives. But this was a tight end class that was very deep, and I had other players ahead of him. So I didn't hate the pick, and it's more wait and see for me. But I couldn't help but think when I watched this guy on tape, just looking at his huge frame, I thought back to another big tight end that played several seasons, or I think he played like eight or nine seasons in the NFL, Scott Chandler. And I thought to myself, if I took Scott Chandler and I put him at this lower level competition, although Scott Chandler is not the athlete that Adam Shaheen is, he would have been a dominant player in that conference, you know, playing lower level college football. I think he would have put up some astronomical numbers. And I'm not trying to take away from Shaheen's athleticism and from what he did, but I don't know that he would have done the same at other schools. So I had him rated a little lower than, I guess, a lot of the draft community. Now you're hearing a lot of people saying that he was graded as a second round pick in their eyes. But I saw him more as like a fourth round pick, a player that you could develop and needed some time, because he really isn't a good blocker at that size. I mean, the 280-pound frame is intriguing, but you would expect a guy that's that size playing lower-level competition to be a dominant blocker. He's playing against a lot of guys who are in the 230s to 250 range on the defensive line. I mean, he really should be moving these guys very easily, and that's something that comes with effort as well, so that's something that was concerning to me on tape. But in terms of him being a receiver, you obviously have to love a player that's that size, and he is going to help in the red zone. He's obviously going to help Jordan Howard. When you have a player that's that size down in the red zone, I think it's going to loosen the box a little bit for Howard, because he has to be accounted for. He has to be respected. And, of course, he's going to help make up for some of the touchdowns that you lost with Alshon Jeffrey, who was such a weapon down in the red zone.
And I want to just say, Jose said there when you've got someone with that size down in the red zone, it really loosens the box, and that was all I could think of.
Oh, you young Cox boy. Well, and Shane, you know, I love the pick. I had heard about this guy about 3 months ago, read about him somewhere, and then found some of the YouTube stuff on him, and really was amazed at what he's capable of doing and running so fast with that mass of muscle on him. But I think that this is another example of Pace reaching for somebody who probably would have been in the third round. And I've read reports that he wasn't going to get out of the second round. I don't buy that so much. I think that because Ryan Pace had to trade away his third round pick, he said, I really want this guy, so I'm going to take a third round caliber player and draft him in the second round. What do you think?
Yeah, I was, after the way that day one unfolded, I think all of us to a man kind of expected, unless clearly somebody at 36 had fallen that really shouldn't have been there, I think we all kind of expected Pace to bail out of 36 to recoup some picks. He ended up doing that. And even at any point in the second round, my thought process the whole time was, well, we're going to be waiting on Trubisky. He's not going to be a day one starter. So this is where he's really going to lock in and get his guy that doesn't even essentially have to be a come right in, be a day one starter, but is going to give us that impact on, you know, week one, the guy that's going to play a lot and contribute. And I really expected him to go. I thought maybe he'd get his defender here. I mean, we had guys like Dalvin Tomlinson, Obi Melifonwu was still on the board, I believe. Ryan Anderson. Let me see. I'm just bringing it up here to see who else I had. Tyus Bowser was another guy that I really liked, that I would have been fine with, you know, because you can never have enough pass rushers. But it's the same. You said it good too, Aldo. I don't disapprove of Adam Shaheen the player, but I was disappointed that we didn't go more towards a guy that was going to come in and, you know, contribute to the defense. Or, you know, I think Shaheen's going to come in and they're going to choose their spots for him to contribute. But to me, it really seemed like a pick for 2018, for 2019, more so than getting a guy that could come in there and contribute, you know, week after week in the 2017 season. So I that took a little bit of the wind out of my sails from getting the quarterback, even though he wasn't my number one quarterback in the first round. It did take some of the wind out of my sails, because I really didn't expect it. I mean, if it was me, if I was the GM on the clock, where the Bears drafted 45 overall after they bailed out, Adam Shaheen wasn't part of my drafting process there.
Phil, you have experience playing collegiate football. What kind of challenge is Shaheen headed to, jumping from D2 to the NFL? Well,
it's going to be a challenge, only with the competition of and the speed. But what really sets this up well for him is God doesn't make many people that are that size and are able and capable to move like this football player does at 280 pounds, 6'7", 280 pounds. I mean, this becomes a chess piece. You know, you look at this player and he could be that move tight end at 280 pounds because of the way he is as an athlete. And he has really, really solid snatch the ball in the air hands, and he also can high point. He becomes what I was talking about, an issue with Dowell Loggins, his play calling in the red zone. He becomes a piece of the puzzle missing for this team, because he threatens safeties, he threatens linebackers that are going to have to try to cover him. And when they do have coverage on him, his size alone will give him an advantage. And when you have size athletes, they call him Baby Gronk. You use Gronk as an example, or we'll use Martellus Bennett as an example. You loved Martellus Bennett. If he had the heart and the fire that this kid possesses on the football, he loves contact. He wants to get in someone's face. So that's where I think his transition to the NFL won't be as difficult as people are really concerning themselves, because of that size speed ratio. You know, speed is a killer for every absence and every aggression on the football field. The Chicago Bears needed more speed. They got it with this pick and the pick number 4 and Cohen on the offensive side of the football. These two players are going to be able to bring something that's been missing from Chicago. You had glances of Zach Miller being able to do things for you, but he's too often injured and fragile. This guy's not a fragile football player with the hoops background. You know he's going to be able to body people and get in position to catch the football. That's why I think this pick was a really good pick. And I'm looking forward to see how he plays come OTAs and then the off season. And I believe by the end of the preseason, this is going to be a fan favorite.
Lauren, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, Trubisky and Drew Brees and Adam Shaheen, Jimmy Graham, Tariq Cohen, Darren Sproles, and that Ryan Pace is building this football team now in the mold of the New Orleans Saints. Do you? What are your thoughts about that? Those comparisons?
I think that's a little bit more of a media thing than an actual thing. I mean, sure, Shaheen has some similar traits to – I mean, obviously, to Cohen is very similar to Sproles, and Shaheen has some similar to Jimmy Graham. But I don't get the impression that Ryan Pace scouted these players as like, okay, I've got my Sproles, I've got my Graham, and Trubisky's not quite a Drew Brees for me, but I don't think he's looking at necessarily building in that same mold. I think he just wants the best football players, and maybe he's – because of his experience with Sproles and Graham and being in the front office that put that together, maybe he has maybe a little bit, not a bias, but a favorability towards players that can win in unique ways. And a Sproles-Cohen type is a unique player in the NFL that is difficult for defenses to handle. And a guy like Jimmy Graham is difficult for players for defenses to handle. And I don't think it's necessarily an effort to build a similar team to what the Saints had, but I think he just sees the things that made the Saints offense good and said, hey, let's get those kind of players here, and it just kind of happens that they have good comparables to the Saints. But I think he also sees the value of other players on the Saints never had. I don't think you compare Mike Ingram to Jordan Howard, but he went out and acquired a Jordan Howard that doesn't quite fit maybe what the Saints had, but he just wants to get the best football players that create matchup problems for other defenses, and I think that's what he's doing.
Going counterclockwise around the table, Phil, give me your thoughts on Tariq Cohen. I know you've already stated that you're really excited about the prospects of what this guy can do in the NFL. Give us your scouting report.
Well, this is a football player that gets 0 to 100 in a split second. That kind of innate ability to run the football, the instinctive runner that can make people miss, who's completely unpredictable with the football in his hands. That kind of athlete is what's missing in Chicago. You know, you look at Kansas City with Tarek Hill, and that kind of start-stop that he has is rare. And this football player has it. I believe that he has excellent field vision, his lateral escapability, like he can read the cutback and get there in a split second, but also juke the defender who's coming down across the face of the cutoff block of the backside lineman. He can end up getting back outside, has the speed to race the secondary. This football player has large hands for a smaller guy. No one's really talking about it. He's got 10 and 1/8 inch hands at 5'6". I'm an inch taller than this kid and 180 pounds. I think you see him snatch the football out of the air. It's clear the comparisons for Sproles. I get it. I compare him to Danny Woodhead, who I absolutely love. This is an electric lightning in a bottle. The footwork is there. He could play in the zone. He could run power because he's got the Napoleon complex. He's angry. I like that. I know they call him the human joystick, but he's not afraid to put his face in there. I think this is a really, really good pick. In fact, I kept that pick because I just think this was a missing ingredient to offset a Jordan Howard and then the other backs in the backfield. Talk about lighting a fire under all of their asses. This kid's going to come in here and act like the competition to start is his. That kind of football player who can also return punts and kicks, I really think, you know, the excitement that Devin Hester brought to the punt return game, this kid could bring to the offensive side of the football.
Shane, what do you think? Do you believe that Phil is an inch taller than Tariq Cohen?
Bullshit.
Oh, yeah. 5'7". He's 5'6".
I just bullshitting with you.
Phil, is that in your heels?
I bought Timberlands. I got Timberlands.
Reebok pulps.
Thoughts on Cohen?
When the pick came up, another guy that wasn't really on my board at that point. I mean, it's I liked the player, just wasn't a guy that I had up in my little pool of players that I was going to be picking from, I really look at a guy like Cohen as more of a luxury pick. And at the point that we're at right now, as it, like, you know, Phil said, calling him, you know, like the water bug type player, and it not to get back on the Dowell Loggins again, but then I think, you know, you got to bring up those questions. Is Dowell going to be creative enough to deploy this guy in the correct way? So that's something that I think of. And again, it was just wasn't a player that was on my radar at that point. So I was a little bit disappointed in it. You know, there was some, you know, another running back. I know Jose, I believe you were a Joe Williams guy, right? Wasn't that your, or am I picking the wrong guy? But I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, sorry, I was muted, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Julian Davenport, the offensive tackle, was another guy that I thought they might look at. And, I mean, we all know the issues that the Bears have, especially with their offensive tackles. So I was a little bit taken aback by them going that route. And we all know that Kadeem Carey seems to be always nicked up, and Jeremy Langford had a couple of games of success there his rookie year, and he's also been nicked up with a high ankle sprain and really has seemed to regress as a player. And, you know, we know that he doesn't really bring much power. He gets touched and he seems to go down. But to me, that seemed like a reach for Cohen at that point. But that may just be because I didn't have the kid in my, you know, cloud of players like Ryan Pace likes to say for that point in the fourth round. So it's a wait and see for me, but I was skeptical of the pick on draft day, and I still am a little bit right now because I don't have complete faith that he'll be deployed the correct way by the offensive coordinator.
Jose, what do you think about Eddie Jackson, the safety from Alabama? I took a close look at him, and it was difficult for me to assess whether his success came from the fact that he played with a tremendous cast of players, and he was just able to kind of lay back there and pick off passes left and right. But then I went back after the draft and took a closer look, and the guy does have some incredible athletic skills. I mean, he can run once he catches that ball. But give me your assessment about the selection of Eddie Jackson and whether you're concerned that these injuries are something that we should have stayed away from.
I'm definitely concerned about the injuries, just because it's, you know, it's been more than one thing. And because I have one beef with Eddie Jackson, it's that he's not very physical in the run game. You know, occasionally you'll see him put a hit on someone, but he's not an enforcer. He's not the kind of guy that you want to rely on one-on-one to save the game and get a guy on the ground. So other than that, I had Eddie Jackson as my fifth ranked free safety. I like the selection. I think he fits the bill in terms of what Ryan Pace has talked about in his safeties and what he wants in his defensive backs. He wants players that take the football away. Obviously, we know that's an area of need. The team had, what, 8 interceptions last season?
Yep.
So, and Eddie Jackson definitely is a player that has instincts and can get to the football, and he has that athleticism, and he finishes and catches the football. And once he has the ball in his hands, he's a threat to score. So I like the pick. Like I said, the one beef I really have with him is his physicality. And you look at a player with a similar skill set in my eyes in Justin Evans from Texas A&M, who was probably a notch down in terms of athleticism. He went, I think it was 50th or 49th. I think he went in the second round of Tampa, but I don't remember exactly where. But he went a lot higher than Eddie Jackson did.
Yeah, right at 50.
So, okay. At 50, right. So, I think it's right around where I would have thought that Eddie Jackson would come off the board. So this is one of the only selections in the draft that I didn't really view as a reach in my eyes. You know, I thought it was right about at par for where you'd get this guy. And he fits a need. They needed to get a difference maker on the defensive side of the ball in such a deep draft. If they would have just come away with offensive players, I think I would have been even more disappointed.
Lauren, Desmond King or Eddie Jackson?
Oh, give me Desmond King all day.
Why?
Desmond King, to me, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Eddie Jackson. I agree with pretty much everything Jose said there, but I thought Desmond King, like Phil, is a first-round talent in this draft. I thought even potentially a top 20, top 15 even talent in this draft, just because he has such a good feel for the defense. He's a guy that is just cerebral back there. When I watch him on the All-22, he just even when the ball's not coming his way, he knows exactly where he fits in the coverage. They did a lot of cover three, and he just was always seemed to be the perfect distance away from receivers and anyone that came near him. He's got ball skills, and I think he got brought down a little bit by a poor 2016, and not that it was a terrible year by any means, but he was hurt and just didn't quite have the same production that he did after 2015, when I think he could have been a little bit of a higher draft pick by all means. And so I think I was still a shock to me that he lasted, I think, into the fifth round. And there's some rumors of some off-the-field stuff that maybe he wasn't as willing to be able to switch positions to safety. I think he could play corner in some teams, maybe not the Bears, but he could on other teams. And to me, he just has range. He has everything you'd look for in a free safety.
All right, Phil, give me your thoughts on Jackson, and then segue over to the offensive lineman that was chosen in the fifth round, the kid from Cutston, Jordan Morgan.
I had a good grade on Jackson. For the record, I agree with Lauren. I love Desmond King. I thought he could have went in the first round, and I would have been fine with that. But Jackson, I had ranked 67th overall, and I was happy they selected him. Long, but he's a little bit lanky type of athlete, but he really gets the understanding of where he needs to be lined up. I like the fact that he can go into the slot, cover the receiver. He is a former receiver in high school, and he played corner at Alabama too. So the tracking and the timing, this kid is a real threat from the hashes. And I think Jose is correct. You know, they needed someone that's going to take away the football. That seems to be Demps, why he's here. The kid Cooper's here for taking away the football. Now you add a kid in Jackson. Well, I'm not afraid, because I think he's a willing tackler. He needs to work on his technique. I don't think he's afraid to tackle. And that's sometimes, you saw that with Chris Conte. You saw it with Major Wright at times, just being afraid to come up and fill the alley. This guy just needs to work on his technique, as well as another positive in his hat is his ability to return the punt. He's very good punt returner. He's not on the level of a Devin Hester, but he can go out there in a pinch and confidently catch the football in a crowd and get you those hidden yards in games. So I think his versatility in the secondary, as well as special teams, make it a very good selection there. As far as the kid Morgan, you know, Jose and I talked about him. It was funny. I was doing a video for Bears Hour Live about sleepers, and it was going so long I left them off of it. But me and Jose were talking about this kid. Because of how he plays the game, I thought he was undervalued in draft conversations. I think he's athletic enough to play tackle, but they can move him inside, and then I can finally see Kyle Long be moved outside if that's the case. I think this football player gets after it. He has good knee bend. He's an aggressive football player on the football field. That's what you like to see in an offensive lineman. Does he pass that aggression test? Yes, he does. He's got 10-inch hands. He's got good arm length at 34 5/8. So you're looking at a good technician as well. I love his hand placement. He's getting it inside the frame. He's holding, but within the rules of the game. So he understands the process of being a lineman. He also was a 4-year starter. That on the offensive side of the football can't be overlooked. And he dominated on his level. I mean, this kid was impressive and has won the, I forget the award, Gene Upshaw Award for the Division II top offensive lineman. So you got three Division II award winners in this draft. You heard it here first. The Chicago Bears had three Division II, or two Division II, rather, award winners with Shaheen and Morgan. Also won the Gene Upshaw Award as the top offensive lineman. Shaheen won as the top tight end. So he dominated on his level. That's what you get. I hope they give him in the competition at tackle. They might not, but I would. So you know how important I think it is. So I thought it was a good selection in the fifth round.
Shane, what were your thoughts on this kid from Cutstown University?
You know, it's the one, when you're talking down in the fifth round, I think, you know, everybody, just the normal NFL or Chicago Bears fan is like, all right, you know, here we go. We're going to get Jordan Howard here. And then you see him draft an offensive lineman from Cutstown. And I think, you know, people are like, you know, what the hell's Pace doing? He's, you know, botching this whole draft. But, you know, Ryan Pace said after the draft that they view Morgan more as an offensive guard. And I know Phil and Jose both said that they think that he could, in a pinch, play offensive tackle. But I think this is a little bit, you know, planning ahead. This kid's got some, you know, obviously has some upside. And I was just reading a little overview of him, you know, right now. And he actually won the Offensive Player of the Year award. I didn't hear you say that. I'm sorry, Phil. I heard you say Gene Upshaw. I didn't hear you say the other part.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But, that's just says a lot about the kid. But I think this might be some little planning ahead, adding the offensive guard, because now that we have the quarterback in here, the next thing that I think everybody's going to be watching here over the next couple of weeks is when OTAs start to kind of see, you know, Kyle Long's not going to be there because he's going to be rehabbing. But it's going to be very interesting to see how the offensive line shakes out. And, you know, Morgan's a guy that can sit there, and Josh Sitton is, I believe, 31 years old. And, you know, you never know when those guys are going to start to regress. But, you know, it's just another guy in there that's going to contribute to our depth on the offensive line. And that's been, you know, the Chicago Bears have had a huge issue with that over the years. So I really had no problem with the pick. When you're talking fifth round, you get an offensive lineman with upside. I have no problem with that pick whatsoever in round five.
Jose, this kid is 310 pounds. You think that he can move over to right tackle and beat out Bobby Macy?
Yeah, I mean, I think he can play tackle. I found this guy fairly late. I mean, I text Shane, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, and I told him, I feel like I found the Ali Marpet of this draft, and it was this kid.
Yeah.
So with his arm length and the way that he moves out at left tackle, his feet, I think, are adequate to stay there. I know that Ryan Pace did say guard, but I don't see any downside in trying him at multiple positions because, you know, more than likely, obviously, as a rookie, he's going to be depth, you know, and push a player like Bobby Massey to start. Why wouldn't you want competition at that position when it was probably the worst on your offensive line in 2016? I think he can stay there. He has 35-inch arms. He has great feet. What I found the most intriguing with the kid was his ability to get to the second level so easily and constantly look for work until the whistle was blown. He was always looking for somebody to block, and he was always finishing his blocks and had that nastiness but also played under control. You know, it wasn't like, you know, the whistle's blown and then he's knocking a guy over the pile and getting a flag thrown. You know, he'll get that extra little shot in there subtly, but he wasn't a kind of guy like a Richie Incognito that had that temperament but didn't know when to turn it down. You know, he wasn't intelligent. And so this kid, with his movement skills and that temperament and his athleticism and him being a scheme fit here, I mean, I think his versatility and that athletic ability in the fifth round is exactly where you want to take those types of gambles on a small school guy like this.
Let's see. How should we end this? Should we just kind of go around? It's obviously too early to give grades on stuff, but maybe the question is, are you satisfied with Ryan Pace's third draft as general manager of the Chicago Bears, or are you disappointed? Kind of describe your feelings and why.
Can I suggest something here to close this show?
Absolutely.
Let's go old school. Why don't we do a keep it 100?
All right.
Who's going to have a better team in 4 years, the Chicago Bears or the Cleveland Browns?
Ooh. All right, that's a good one.
How are we defining better team? Are we talking wins or are we talking roster composition here?
In 4 years, let's say who's going to get further in terms of playoffs and wins.
All right, everybody can think about it a while. We'll play a little music. Lauren! Lauren, what's your answer?
Oh, I'm going to go Chicago Bears just because I think they have a much more secure quarterback position right now. I mean, I think the Cleveland Browns are doing a great job of building a team, but I'm a lot less confident in Deshaun Kizer than I am in Mitch Trubisky as a quarterback prospect. And I think Cleveland is going to be picking maybe another quarterback next year, and maybe that changes a few things. But I think the Bears are in a better position for long-term success with Mitch Trubisky on the board than Deshaun Kizer and Cody Kessler in Cleveland.
Philatotion.
Feel happy about the draft to answer your question, Aldo. I'm excited about the face of the franchise, the new, and I like that it was an offensive draft. I felt like they needed a shot in the arm. And keeping it 100, I'm kind of just picking low-hanging fruit because Lauren assessed my answer completely. I think the Bears have a better quarterback situation, have a better defense right now. Despite their gains on defense, I just think the Bears will be in a better place.
Better quarterback, huh?
Yep. Mm. Better quarterback situation.
Okay. You don't, are you not a fan of Cody Kessler?
No, not a fan.
I like Cody Kessler, actually, but I think Mitch Trubisky's better.
I do, too. Okay.
I think Trubisky's much better. Much better.
Okay. And just a reminder that the Browns do have your boy, Jabril Peppers.
Yeah.
That running back?
We'll see how he plays there. I mean, I have close family ties to Cleveland, so they've been down this road a lot. I feel as though the Bears have moved in the right direction, and to steal a line from Aldo, feels like Glennon and Fox are bridge guys right now. I think they got their young quarterback, and I think next year will be a trial period for Fox, and I think that'll end, and I think you'll see Josh McDaniels being the head coach come 2018.
Very good. Shane Marsaw, the mailman delivers.
You know, I see all the love that Cleveland has been getting over the past 2 years with all of their picks, and I think it's probably kind of hard to screw up number one overall with Myles Garrett when pretty much, I mean, that was the – I didn't really hear too many people other than Warren Sapp saying that, you know, he had his issues. But in terms – I mean, I do like Jabril Peppers, not as much as Phil, but there are other two first-round draft picks in Jabril Peppers and David Njoku. I'm not – I mean – I don't know. They don't really move the meter all that much for me. And if I had to pick who's going to be better in 4 years, I'm going to stay with the Homer vibe, and I'm going Chicago Bears. I do. I believe that we have a better situation there. I do love their young quarterback, though. So that's the one ace up their sleeve that they have, because I am I'm much higher in Deshaun Kizer than Lauren is. But in terms of overall team, Cleveland, you know, I'm not trying to even stick up for George McCaskey here, but their whole entire situation there just seems, you know, they're getting jerked off every year for having all these picks and picks and picks and picks. Well, at some point you have to start hitting on them. And to this point, they've hit on a couple here and there, but there's, you know, I do like what they did in free agency on the offensive line. But, again, it's all going to come back to quarterback, and it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds there. But I think the Bears have more on defense. I think the Bears have a better running back. I like Hugh better than I like John Fox. But we'll see. You know, if you had to put a gun to my head, I can't pick Cleveland over Chicago.
Jose, I know you've given this question a lot of thought, given that it was your question. So
no, not really. I don't think.
Hours of preparation. We don't have a plan.
Yeah, exactly. We're
What's
calling
your
this
plan?
My play. Fuck rhythm. What's that? Quarterback draw. It's 3rd and 18, coach. We don't give a fuck. Quarterback draw.
Jose, it's 4th and 1 at the goal. What are you doing? I'm throwing.
Go empty. Let's throw.
Go empty. They'll never see it coming.
They'll never see Dowell coming.
Yeah, throw it to Bellamy while you're at it. They don't even have to cover him.
So this question, and I'm curious to hear what you have to say, Aldo, in a minute, but if you survive my answer. I just proved that you're all fucking homers, first of all. And I'm going to fucking short out Aldo's pacemaker here because I know that he's only hanging on to life by a fucking thread with the hope that this team wins a championship before his last breath. But you better slow down on that drink in there, bud. I'm going to say that the Cleveland Browns are going to be a better team in 4 years than the Chicago Bears because I believe that Hugh Jackson is still going to be in place. I think that Chicago is going to be... Yeah, go ahead, boo me off the stage, you bunch of fucking homers. Love every pig, Ryan Pace. Can I suck your dick?
You read my mind.
Yeah, I know.
You'll have to climb the wall to reach it.
So, with Hugh Jackson being there, and I think one of these two quarterbacks will pan out and at least be somewhat successful between DeShone Kizer or Cody Kessler. I think Hugh Jackson is good enough with developing quarterbacks that he's going to get one of these two guys playing at a reasonable level, and I think they'll address the running back position, address the wide receiver position. They've addressed their offensive line. They made improvements on defense. They still need to address the cornerback position. But I see some bright spots on this roster and a lot of potential. I think this team will be further along because Chicago is going to be – they're going to have another head coach, another offensive coordinator, and another defensive coordinator at some point within this four-year span.
What's the – terms of this bet here?
Oh, we're betting?
We're betting? No. We got a Cleveland in the hole?
Hey, listen, I'm just trying to be objective here, man. And
I think it's contrarian. Contrarian.
No, I'm not trying to go against the grain just cuz. I believe this, but I hope I'm wrong. That's the other thing. Me saying this, I hope it's one of those things where you guys are saying, this guy's a fucking idiot and I'm wrong and we can all celebrate together when the Chicago Bears win a playoff game or...
How'd you see Shane's text?
I mumbled that shit.
Did you say you're going to wait for them to address wide receiver when they drafted like 47 of them last year and they all suck?
Well, because some of them suck, they obviously still need more wide receivers. I mean... Corey Coleman, that's not getting it done. They still got to add a guy. Listen, I'm not pulling for Cleveland. I'm looking at it, and that's what I believe.
I'm pulling for the Bears
every fucking week. I'm pulling for the Bears, and I hope they're successful. And any player, any pick that I didn't agree with, I hope I'm wrong because I'm a Chicago Bears fan. I know that you get on social media and everybody fucking jumps down your throat when you say anything that sounds remotely critical because you don't have the rose-colored glasses and you're not celebrating everything the Bears do. But let's be real here. If every move that the Bears made was great, like all the fans try to sell you, then we wouldn't be winning 3 fucking games or 5 games or 6 games. I mean, we'd be in the playoffs.
Playoffs? You kidding me?
Cleveland picked a kicker, last name Gonzalez. We know where this is coming from, Jose.
That's it. Although, cue the mariachis.
Well, let me also add that Cleveland chose Myles Garrett, already mentioned Jabril Peppers, David Njoku, the tight end from Miami, DeShone Kizer, Larry Ogunjobi, who, by the way, had the highest score on the Wunderlich test. But Ogunjobi was somebody that we had talked about in our last show, and everybody cited him as a great sleeper. Howard Wilson, somebody that has been mentioned often as a great sleeper. Roderick Johnson, another great sleeper. Caleb Brantley, if he stays out of jail, who could be a force. I mean,
that's all he's got to do.
That's, dig in. Those are the guys.
I think Caleb Brantley has one of those signs in his apartment that says, "We have gone 0 days without punching a hoe."
Those are the guys they picked this year, and next year they have 2 first round draft picks, they have 3 second round picks, they have 2 fourth round picks, a third round pick, 2 picks in the 6th round. They have more picks than any other NFL team in next year's draft. So if anybody says that the Bears are going to be a better team than the Cleveland Browns, it's only because they can see the Cleveland Browns airplane crash landing somewhere over the Ozarks on their trip to St. Louis. It's pretty much clear as day that the Cleveland Browns have more assets in which to become a greater team than the Chicago Bears. It's what I yelled about at the 1 hour mark of this show. What the fuck is that?
What the hell is that?
What is that?
I don't hear anything.
I was muted. It was coming from Shane.
It was?
It had to have been if it's not all the way.
It sounded like you were beating it pretty hard, dude.
Yeah, really.
Oh, I'm legit.
It sounded like someone's going down on the stapler.
Yeah.
No clue.
Like that.
No Holy idea.
Shit. It's balls, like.
So anyway, that's my pick. I think it's a kind of a no-brainer that the Browns are set up to succeed much more than the Chicago Bears are. So any last thoughts, guys?
Cheers, Browns fans.
There you go. I remember, if you drink, don't drive, and always bear down. What would it take for you to just cash it all in and say, fuck you, Chicago Bears, I'm just not going to do this anymore. I'm just not going to follow you. Or are you such a diehard fan that no matter what they do to fuck up this organization, this franchise, you'll stay loyal to them? Phil, you started following the Bears when you were a kid. You fell in love with Walter Payton after your dad asked you, you know, look at these running backs, who do you like the best? You saw number 34 and fell in love with him and the Bears over the years. How strong is that bond still?
I'm lost in the luster of the navy, orange, and white. I think half, my wife says 80% of my wardrobe is the Bears, 10% is Bears t-shirts, and then the rest is got to dress up and go somewhere nice. So I just.
And it's all from Baby Cap.
I just hand it down to my sons.
So there's nothing they can do.
I don't think they can
do
anything.
They could sign ISIS, honestly.
I feel like I lived.
Khalid, Muhammad, whatever, is that quarterback. He has 13 kills.
I can get behind that. They blow up the Packers.
Death to America's team.